that live music? Oof. Show's getting expensive. New topiaries of Mirabel, Antonio, Isabella, and Luisa from Encanto will be near the Epcot main entrance, but we don't plant no broom, no, no, no. We don't plant no broom, no.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow is just a dream away.
It is $45 higher. We're going to have you punch all at once at the end. So
wait, I'm sorry. How much is that mug?
That is $45 for that tumbler that was sitting
on
your desk.
How much should I pay for this mug?
Yeah.
Is it magic? This is News Today with WDW News Today. I'm Tom Corliss of WDWNT.com. Please like this video, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell to make sure you never miss the latest from the Disney theme parks around the world. Here now is the news for January 23rd, 2023. Construction walls have been erected at Splash Mountain with references to the future Tiana's Bayou Adventure attraction that's coming up. Walls surround the former Splash Mountain, which of course just closed on Sunday night. The walls are themed via stamps from the Southern Dome Salt Company, referencing the backstory of Tiana's Bayou Adventure. The water on the ride is also off now, as you would imagine. The attraction was also removed from the maps with a logo for Tiana's Bayou Adventure placed over the artwork as of today. The restrooms in the area will remain open at this time. The teams are still installing scrim when we visited this morning, but obviously they're looking to keep those operating. The penny machines with the penny presses with the Splash Mountain designs are actually all still there too. You can still get some Splash Mountain souvenirs. There are also crew members actively working in the briar patch on the ride in front of guests. There's no walls up along the bridge, so you can see them working. Signage was removed this morning from around Frontierland as well that pointed to Splash Mountain. Of course, as I mentioned before, Splash Mountain closed permanently at the end of the day on January 22nd, 2023. Its replacement, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, is set to open in 2024. Quick shout out to everyone who said hello to us yesterday. We obviously were there all day to say goodbye to Splash Mountain. And so many of you stopped to say hello and talk about how much you love the show. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And with Splash Mountain officially closed, the Walt Disney World Railroad has updated the audio to omit the previous references. The new audio removes the Splash Mountain dialogue and hints at the upcoming Tiana's Bayou Adventure replacement. It says, quote, I heard some new critters are moving in and looking to make a splash. Take listen, we're almost there, closing in. Of course, almost there is a reference to a song from The Princess and the Frog. Previously, when the ride was operating, the train would pass through the attraction, and before arriving at Frontierland Station, you would hear the narrator talking about the ride, but also you would see through the windows into that finale scene of Splash Mountain with the riverboat. That's now blacked out, obviously, as they begin work on the attraction. It is not expected that the railroad is going to need to close at any point, but obviously, you know, 2 years is a long time, maybe at least for a couple days somewhere down the line, but maybe you'll be unaffected. Maybe the work on this ride doesn't require the railroad to close again, which would be great. We don't need to lose the railroad again. In addition to the updated audio on the Walt Disney World Railroad, the Liberty Square Riverboat also has removed their Splash Mountain portion of dialogue. Rather than swapping in references to the upcoming new ride, the riverboat audio has simply been silenced in place of the narration. In addition, Zippity Doo-Dah was removed from the Magic Kingdom entrance music loop. Song has been a part of the lineup since 2005 when the Magic Kingdom adopted most of Tokyo Disneyland's 2002 entrance loop. Interestingly enough, though, Everybody Has a Laughing Place is still part of the loop, and I guess maybe it's going to stay. This, of course, isn't the first instance of the song being removed, as it was notably absent from the Festival of Fantasy Parade upon its return in March of 2022. They also removed When I See an Elephant Fly from that, by the way. The Disneyland Resort Esplanade removed the song in 2020. Tokyo Disneyland reportedly and told us even that they were removing the song in September of 2022. It still plays on the monorail, though. I've been told I can't tweet it, though, because we don't want anyone to know. We're just trying to keep the song alive somewhere. It was removed reportedly for like a day or two in Japan, and people blamed us because we tweeted it. But but apparently it's still there. So obviously Splash Mountain is also still there and still operating, and there's no announced plans for it to go away there either. So keep in mind, we also still do not have a closing date for Disneyland Splash Mountain. That still exists, and probably reportedly it's going to be a couple months still until that one closes. So Splash Mountain not gone from the United States yet, and not leaving this planet just yet, as Tokyo Disneyland, again, no plans to replace. For nearly 3 years, guests have not been able to venture down to Ariel's Grotto in Fantasyland and become part of her world in the special meet-and-greet space. That is until Sunday, when the Fathoms Below finally reopened to guests. The entrance is next door to Under the Sea Journey of the Little Mermaid in New Fantasyland. We arrived early in the morning, and the wait time sign read TST for test, but it eventually did open. The Lightning Lane sign was also added just days before the reopening. It is available as a Lightning Lane offering. The queue brings you into the caves with flower lights blooming overhead. And inside the grotto, the ceiling has cutouts in the rockwork showing guests that they've entered an undersea cavern. Ariel, in her mermaid form, sits on a clamshell couch surrounded by seaweed. This is where you can meet her, get a photo with her. An automated PhotoPass machine is in place here, but not operational yet, so no PhotoPass services are available to guests at this time. Cast member was there to take photos with your personal device, though. You can watch a video of the Ariel's Grotto greeting right here on our YouTube channel. Of course, another meet-and-greet type experience is set to return at Magic Kingdom. That's Enchanted Tales with Belle, which will be back on February 19th. A backdrop for the test seats of Tron Lightcycle Run has been installed near the coaster's entrance at the Magic Kingdom. The backdrop is visible under the white canopy. The graphic is similar to the one that was used on the display light cycles that were previously available outside of the Tomorrowland Light and Power Company. The same backdrop is behind the test seats, in fact, at Shanghai Disneyland, their version of the ride, the first one in the world that opened in 2016. Here you see a picture I took on my trip to Shanghai of that test seat area. Tron Lightcycle Run will finally open to guests on April 4th, 2023. Cast member previews are about to begin. Passholder, DVC, Club 33, and other previews will be happening soon thereafter. Very exciting time as we finally get ready for this attraction to open. The Epcot parking lots are getting new names. Actually, they've got them already. Recent report on the installation of sign frames in the lots, and now Disney shared photos of what the new names will be. They're up now again. They'll be divided into two categories, Earth and Space. The Space section will include WALL-E, Eve, Rocket, and Gamora. The Eve parking lot is currently under construction, but the rest have their new names and signage. The Earth section includes Heihei, Moana, Crush, and Dory. A new sign is also coming to the Auto Plaza. The old sails around the 1990s Epcot sign were removed recently. The 1990s Epcot sign is still standing there, though. I am going to stop and talk about this because this was like the big Twitter discussion over the weekend. And a lot of people don't seem to understand people's connection to Epcot. I understand if you're a younger guest, you probably have no idea why people liked Epcot. Epcot was pretty lame for a while. I know people are starting to fall back in love with Epcot now, with people really love Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, and some of the other changes that have been made. But I need you to understand that, like, when I was a kid, and when all these other people who are upset were a kid, Epcot Center was the best Disney park ever. And I say this today. The two best Disney parks I've ever been to, Tokyo Disney Sea and Epcot Center. Epcot Center was so special. Every attraction was 12 to 15 minutes long and just audio animatronic spectacular with memorable music, and just everything about the park was fantastic. And the really interesting thing was the park didn't rely upon Disney characters. And so obviously as time has gone on, as people who experienced a truly unbelievable theme park have watched the Disney company slowly pump IP into it, that is a point of contention. It's something that is hard to get by. I fully expected that the parking lots were going to get character names because that's what they're doing to all of them. We saw Magic Kingdom already had character names, and they still changed them to heroes and villains and changed what the characters were. Studios got rid of what I love, those old parking lot signs, television stage, and they're so cool. But those were replaced with characters as well. And now we've arrived at Epcot where we've done that too. Some of the choices, I think, I'm not mad that they're characters. I'm mad at some of the choices. The fact that Heihei the chicken, who's kind of this, like, I don't know another term for this, kind of brain dead chicken character, has a parking lot, and they couldn't throw us the bone of giving us Figment, Why couldn't there be one of the lots be Figment? Was someone going to forget they were parked in the Purple Dragon section? I mean, that's all we needed. Like, Figment is Epcot. It's the one thing that means something. Why is he not represented? And why the chicken? Why the really dumb chicken? I don't understand that logic. They're just, I don't know, all the choice. Like Rocket makes sense. The Nemo character, sure. Wally and Eve aren't really represented in the park, but sure. I mean, they probably should be at this point. I don't know. Some of them bother me more than others. Let me know in the comments how you feel. It's so many people over the weekend try to diminish, and we won't even get into the social discourse over Splash Mountain this weekend, but just so many people diminishing people's feelings about the parking lot names, and so many people write stuff, and this comes back to the Carousel Coffee thing, where people are just like, why does it matter? It's just a parking lot. The whole philosophy of Disney parks is that nothing is ever just something. Disneyland changed the business by not doing the things that other places did, right? Like, people said to Walt, you need to have multiple entrances. You need to have midway games to make money. You're spending too much money on theme and making the place pretty. Those are things he was told. And so what makes the Disney parks different is that attention to detail. That attention to detail should be applied to every inch of the property, because that's the company philosophy, is that those details matter. Right? So it's never just a parking lot. It's never just a coffee shop. It's never just a log flume. Because if we believe that, then what are we fans of? What do we love? Because loving this thing, we fall in love with this thing because it is unlike anything else anywhere. It is a place where every inch is meticulously detailed and thought out, and story runs throughout all of it. The company constantly says they are storytellers, right? And so that's important. Every moment of the story matters. So I get it. They are just parking lot signs. But in the end, if we start to diminish things to being, it's just a coffee shop, they're just the parking lot signs, we very quickly go down a dangerous road that undoes everything we know and love about this art form, this medium, and this place we make memories. So just something to keep in mind. I don't think we should ever, in any discourse, it's okay to have different opinions, but we should never try to diminish the thing we love as the reason for why it's okay for something to be less than something that came before it, right? But that's enough. Enough ranting. I've been ranting a lot on these shows lately. I need to stop. Let's move on. This program is brought to you by our official travel agent sponsor, The Vacationeer, the engineers of your next magical vacation. Sit back and let their team of vacation planning experts craft your family's next magical Disney trip. The best part is their services are free. Visit wwnt.travel for details. New ear headbands at Walt Disney World now not only have much shorter tags than they used to, but the tags are also perforated for easy removal. This is a big deal for anyone that buys the mouse ear headbands, because the old tags, the fabric ones, not the cardboard ones with the price on them, were often way too noticeable and obstructive. They kind of bother your head. They're too long. They're hard to cut off. They've been a problem. People compare them to CVS receipts in their length. And so people have been real upset about it. And so Disney, I think, has been trying to find a way to get around this, because obviously there's all sorts of safety and production information they need to legally put on the product. But how do you provide all that and still, put it in a way that guests can remove it easily? But the first ear headband with the new short tags was the Disney 100 mini ears. And we noticed that the new 50th anniversary grand finale ear headband also has the short tags, but they are mostly perforated, which means they can kind of easily be ripped off. They're meant to be ripped off. So there are seven small black fabric tags attached to the headband. The top tag features the Disney logo and the copyright symbol. That one is not perforated. I assume that they wanted that one to stay attached. But there are six more tags that list size, care, material information, as well as stating the headband is not suitable for young children in several different languages. Those six tags, again, are perforated. They can be ripped off easily. Which is great. This is a great improvement. And I know for those of you that actually wear these things, this is great news. And for the rest of you, you're like, why are you even talking about this? But this is, trust me, this is a big deal. People care. This was one of our most read stories of the last week. So it was important enough to mention here on the show, believe it or not. Walt Disney World has opened accessible minivan reservations to all guests, whether or not they require accessible functions. The vans include seating for up to 5 guests, along with room for mobility devices for an additional 2 guests, and a complimentary car seat, which can be used in one of the 5 seating spaces. Guests do not have to transfer out of their mobility device to ride in the accessible minivan. The ordering process is as follows, according to the official minivan website. You just open the Lyft app within the Walt Disney World Resort and enter your destination, confirm your pickup location, and Lyft will provide a fare estimate, and your payment will be processed directly through the app. You can tap Select Access Minivan, that's short for Accessible Minivan, and if the option for Accessible Minivan service doesn't immediately display, scroll through the device or through the vehicle type options until it appears. You can track your vehicle's progress on a map provided by the app, and you'll see the vehicle number to help you spot your car, and that's all you have to do. City of Orlando records show that work is moving forward on the Walt Disney Company's planned Lake Nona campus in Central Florida, according to the Orlando Business Journal's reporting. The records indicate that a parcel master plan is being sought, quote, for the development of an approximately 1.8 million square foot office complex with office and flex space within the Lake Nona PD, parcel 20A. The parcel is the 60 acres of land that the Disney connected entity Dynamic Campus LLC purchased in September 2021. The request was completed on January 18, 2023, and the status of the request is open. The Lake Nona campus was originally scheduled to be established this year, but the full move from California was later shifted to 2026. Disney is already Central Florida's largest employer, but the Lake Nona campus is expected to add 2,000 more jobs. For the absolute latest on these stories and all that didn't make it into today's show, be sure to check WWNT.com and, of course, follow us on all your favorite social media platforms. You can support the entire team behind this show and others by joining the WWNT Inner Globe Society at patreon.com/WWNT. Get access to exclusive content, discounted show and event tickets, and more. Special shout out to all of our WIGS members who make the show happen every week. For the worldwide leader in Disney Parks news, this is Tom Corliss saying, enjoy the rest of your today and have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
This is Disney Entertainment News Today. I'm Rob Whiteside, and here now are the top Disney entertainment stories.
For the latest in Disney entertainment news, watch Disney Entertainment News Today, hosted by Rob Whiteside. From movies and series news to stage shows, books, video games, and more, new episodes drop every Tuesday on WWNT.TV.